أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولا يحزنك قولهم إن العزة لله جميعا هو السميع العليم ألا إن لله من في السماوات ومن في الأرض وما يتبع الذين يدعون من دون الله شركاء إن يتبعون إلا الظن وإن هم إلا يخرصون الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم قرآن ويكلي We're on the 11th juz now. And this is ayah number 65 and 66. And I really wanted to actually mostly talk to you about 65 from Surah Yunus, the 10th surah. Allah tells His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ قَوْلُهُمْ What they have to say to you shouldn't grieve you. The thing they say should not grieve you. And what Allah's Messenger is being told sallallahu alaihi wasallam in these words is that the Prophet will hear things that really hurt him. And Allah says, don't let those things hurt you. You have to become stronger than that. Because if you let those things hurt you, they will demoralize you and you will not be able to do your job. You have to deliver the message of Islam to people. The message of hope. The message of optimism. The message of letting human beings find their purpose again. If you get demoralized, how will humanity find their morale? How are they going to find their motivation? So you cannot be taken back by the words that they say. And if you think it's insulting to you or to Islam, or to Allah, the things they say, إِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا No doubt authority and respect and honor and dignity belong to Allah, all of it. All big dignity, all authority, all respect belongs to Allah. Don't ever think Allah can be disrespected. That's not possible. Because Allah owns it. Allah owns it. So don't you worry about it. هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ And it's not like Allah didn't hear what they said. And it's not like Allah doesn't know what they're saying that you didn't even hear. Allah is all hearing, all knowing. Allah gave His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam clear advice on how to keep moving despite hearing ugly speech. You guys that are online a lot, some of you are exposed to videos, blogs, you know, comments under YouTube videos that are very hurtful to Islam. Reading them will just make you feel disgusted inside. How can people say things like that about Allah? About His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's one thing to not believe in them, but the kind of hate and the kind of just aggressive animosity that's just spewing out of people's mouth makes you just go, what kind of people are these? Why would somebody say something like that? Right? It's disgusting and it bothers you. But Allah is telling His Messenger Himself, because if you're bothered because you have faith, our faith can't compare to the faith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's bothered by it too, and He is told, don't let it get to you. Don't let it get to you. It's not taking away from the dignity of Allah. He owns all of it anyway. So you shouldn't worry about it. And on top of that, He heard what they said. So they will pay. And it's not like Allah doesn't own them. Just like He's your master, whether they recognize it or not, He's their master too. أَلَا لِلَّهِ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ You had better know Allah owns whoever's in the skies and whoever's in the earth. Allah owns all of them. And they will not get away with what they say. This is something that's not... It's not supposed to interfere with the work that you have to do. When we get influenced by these negative words and this hateful speech, then we become reactionary and all we do is respond to that hate, which means we've already not understood what we are supposed to be doing. You know, the one who is, we are, you know, this kind of talk, all it is distraction. It's all it is. And you learning your religion properly, and you sharing the truth of that religion with others in a decent way, that is the mission that you and I are on. And we have to maintain going on that mission, and we cannot let the aggressive and hateful and distracting tactics of those who will hate us, no matter what we do, we cannot let them distract us from our actual mission, just like the Prophet is told that he should not be distracted from his mission. May Allah Azza wa Jalla keep us on purpose and keep us strong on the message of Islam and not allow us to be taken in by so much hateful speech that is all around us today in regards to our beautiful religion. Barakallahu li wa lakum, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وراودته التي هو في بيتها عن نفسه وغلقت الأبواب وقالت هيت لك قال معاذ الله إنه ربي أحسن مثواي إنه لا يفلح الظالمون رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي فالحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Such a difficult juz to pick something from, where actually I had to go back to the 12th juz again and just pick an ayah from Surah Yusuf. This is Surah Yusuf, 12th juz and ayah number 23. And in this particular juz, or in this particular ayah, Allah is talking about the temptation. I know I'm talking to people on YouTube and on Facebook in particular, so I figured I'd talk about something that young people, you know, face, temptation. So Allah says, رَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا, the wife of the minister, Allah says that she tried to seduce him. And the word rawada is used, which comes from ruwaid, which means slowly. Ruwaida in Arabic, ruwaida means slowly. So the suggestion is that she tried to reel him in and tried to seduce him, not just one time, but she kept at it. And she kept, you know, trying to get him. Like, you know, come over here, it's okay. Wow, you look really handsome today. And like she's dropping a line or two, and he can't get away because Allah says, "Allati huwa fi baytiha," the one in whose house he was. And just rhetorically, just saying baytiha, her house, means she has access to the entire house. He can't get away from her. Everywhere he goes, she's there, and she's slowly, little by little by little, making her advances. And he's a young guy; he just became a teenager. Just in the previous ayah, Allah describes him coming into manhood. وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ, right. What's also interesting to note is, when the man of the house first brought him in, he actually recognized the intelligence of this kid on the road trip, that isn't even mentioned in the Qur'an, on the road trip to the house in Egypt where he stayed, the minister, he realized this kid is special, and he should be treated with respect. A kid that's sold as a slave, how does a slave get respect? But the first thing he comes up, he says to his wife, is أَكْرِمِي مَثْوَاهُ, you better honor his long-term permanent room. Don't not give him a room, not put him, give him a place to live, get him a bed. No. Honor his permanent room. Mathwa actually means a place where you stay for generations. Meaning, I want this kid to be here, I want him settled, I don't want him to leave, he's a real asset. He recognized that, but he also recognized his wife has a problem with dignity. Because he didn't just say to her, give him a room. He said, honor his room, meaning don't just walk into his room. Give him his space. I don't want you to just walk, you know, feel like you can go and mess with him anytime you want, or talk to him, or give him instructions. Even as a kid, he wanted her to keep a distance from him. So he says, "Akrimi mathwahu." Now, what was he right on the money? Yeah, he was, because time comes, she's trying to seduce him little by little. She's throwing hints at him as he's becoming a man. And then the other thing that's happening is, rawada also means, comes from arada, intention. And they say rawada is when you try to make someone have the same intentions you have. So she's trying to get him to think like her. It's not a big deal. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. Don't you feel anything? You know? Don't you think I'm beautiful? Like she'll say these things, like she wants her to think how he thinks. And you know, a young man with the temptations that he has, he's a regular human being. He doesn't say, I don't put myself above temptation. He doesn't say that. Even Quran says, وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا لَوْ لَا أَرَّأَ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ. She desired him, he would have desired her too, had he not seen the evidence of his master. But the point I wanted to make, finally, is when she really desired him, she, you know, عَنْ نَفْسِهِ, she wanted him to slip from his own intentions. His intentions were, he's going to stay pure. He's not going to indulge in this sort of thing. How many young people can we say that with? A beautiful woman is after you, she says there's nothing wrong with it, she says it's fine, she's the one coming for you. Usually men are pursuing the women, the woman is pursuing you, you know, and it's in the privacy of a house, and she's your boss, and you have all the reasons to say, hey, well, it's my boss, she told me to do it, whatever, so it's okay. Of all the rationalizations are possible, all the doors are locked. غَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ, she didn't just lock one door, she locked multiple doors, and every door had multiple latches on it. So it's totally private, nobody's going to find out. And then she says, هَيْتَ لَكَ, come over here. And هَيْتَ is used as a seductive word, it's not used normally. Hurry up and get over here. Allah doesn't even describe how she was. You know, we don't even want to know. But she's throwing herself at him, literally. And she's you know, calling him Haytalak. And so at that moment, we learn the awesome character of Yusuf. All the guys that are on campus, all the guys that are in high school, all the guys that are at the workplace, all the guys that are just walking by in the mall, you know, all of you guys, that look, that some girl texts you, that some, you know, she says, you know, you're kind of cute, you want to talk later? Here's my number, or whatever. Like, this man, people, you know, young people, they fantasize about this situation. They fantasize about this situation. Yusuf alayhi salam is in this situation, and he can remember that that Allah is watching at this situation. That's the thing we're being taught here. And he turns to, he says, Ma'adallah, I seek the refuge of Allah. I seek a place where I can find Allah's refuge, because Ma'ad is considered an ism dharf, a place. I seek a place where I can find Allah's refuge. إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايَ. My master has taken good care of me, which is he's really provided me good housing, which he's referring to Allah as his master. And if she doesn't believe in the master, at least when she hears the same word, she might think that Rabb refers to the owner of the house, that he's honored me. So if she clearly doesn't fear God, at least she'll fear her husband. So it's the wisdom of Yusuf alayhi salam that the words he used could be referring to Allah, which in his case he may be saying, Allah took care of me. How can I be disloyal to Allah? And she hears my master, and she might not even think Allah, she might think he means her husband, who's been good to me. If you can't be fearful of God, at least think you have a husband, woman, before you do something like this. You know? إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايَ إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Wrongdoers don't prosper. And he's not going to prolong the conversation. فَاسْتَبَقَ الْبَابِ. So awesome. Allah, وَاسْتَبَقَ الْبَابِ. You know? When the story continues, the next thing you know, he's not, no, lady, you need to calm down, think about this, I'm sorry, I can't. He knows she's not into the talk. He ran for it. وَاسْتَبَقَ الْبَابِ. Don't sit there and just talk to the girl and say, استغفرullah, that's haram, sister. You know, you really should think about what you're saying. No, don't give her advice. You're not giving her advice. You're just spending more time with her. Be honest to yourself. Get away from there. Get away from that conversation. Don't pursue it further. Don't respond back to her. You're in Ramadan, man. Don't respond to her text messages. Don't do it. Make tawbah from it. Don't even say, I won't text you anymore. Don't say it. You know, why aren't you responding to my emails? No, astaghfirullah, it's Ramadan. Don't even respond. Do not engage. The same thing goes for the girls. If you guys want to really take advice from the Qur'an, this is real stuff. This is not just a story. This is your story. This is what you're up to right now. And if you're involved in this, and you heard these ayat of Qur'an, Allah will ask you and me on Judgment Day, these ayat you heard, you think they were just stories? They weren't talking about you? فِيهِ ذِكْرُكُمْ. It's talking about you, Allah says. And it is your mention. And is it your story? It's advice for you. So don't just read this story and think it has nothing to do with your dating life. It has nothing to do with your little, you know, personal exploits that your parents don't know about, that your friends don't know about. It does. It very much does. There's no accident this is mentioned in the Qur'an. This is a timeless problem. And if you're suffering from it, I pray that, you know, learning from the story of Yusuf alayhi salam makes you really rethink what you're doing with your life. You're praying, you're fasting, you're trying to read Qur'an, and there's a girlfriend? There shouldn't be. You really need to think that this is not a small sin. This is not something small you're doing. You're playing with your own faith. And I pray for you, and I pray that you're strong enough to do the right thing and cut off a haram relationship. And if you cannot cut it off, that you make it halal, that you man up and you make it into a halal relationship. Barakallahu li wa lakum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Quran Weekly. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَئِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَئِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَاحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِّسَانِي يَفْقَهُوا قَوْلِي. فَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَالصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ. Quran Weekly. I want to share with you the 7th ayah of Surah Ibrahim. This is the 13th juz of the Quran. And I'm just going to get straight into what Allah says Himself when your master declared that even if you are the least bit grateful, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ, even if you were grateful a little bit, Allah is saying even if you showed a little bit of gratitude, He's not asking for a lot. لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, I will increase you, I swear to it. The strongest language possible is used, if you could show the least bit of gratitude. And the question is, grateful to who? You would think grateful to Allah, but Allah didn't mention Himself. So it could be grateful to Allah, grateful to your parents, grateful to your teachers, grateful for your health, grateful to, you know, to friends, grateful to anyone who's done anything for you, grateful to your employer for giving you a job, appreciative. If you could just become appreciative, if you could just become grateful, because grateful is not just an act of saying Alhamdulillah, grateful is an attitude. It's a lifestyle, it's a way of thinking, right? You're constantly grateful. But if you could show that attitude even the least bit, what does Allah say? La azidannakum. I swear to it, I will increase you. There's no doubt about it, I swear to it, I will increase you. And Allah doesn't use I normally in the Qur'an, He usually uses we. It is only in the most intense cases in the Qur'an that Allah uses I. He used I here. The question is, you know, comes up, increase you in what? Increase you in what? Because you could say, Allah, increase me in knowledge, increase me in wisdom, increase me in patience. You know? We say, Rabbi zidni ilman. We don't just say, Rabbi zidni. We don't just say, Allah, increase me. We say, Allah, increase me in knowledge. Allah says, zadatum imanan. It increased them in faith. He doesn't just say, He increased them. In this ayah, He says, you show gratitude, even in the least bit, I will increase you. Increase you, increase you in what? Allah didn't limit what He will increase you in. That's the beauty of this ayah. The motivation to be grateful in this ayah is I will keep giving you more and more and more and more and more of everything. You think of it, I will give it to you. If it's beneficial for you, I will give it to you. I'll take care of it, I promise. You just show me gratitude. You know, this ayah was actually part of a speech given by Musa alayhi salam. And you know, he was giving this speech to the Israelites. And he was giving the speech to the Israelites after they had crossed the water. And when they had crossed the water, they had memories of their children being slaughtered every other year. These are scarred parents that have traveled, that have seen torture and you know, they've suffered through so many things. And instead of giving them a khutbah, a sermon about patience, because they're in the desert, right? You would think Musa will get up alayhi salam and give them a sermon about patience. He gives them a sermon about gratitude, because you will never be able to have patience if you don't have gratitude. Gratitude comes first. If you can be grateful, Allah will take care of all of your needs, and He'll keep adding more and more and more and more and more. لَا أَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَا إِن كَفَرْتُمْ. And if you are ungrateful, unappreciative, you can't see the good in life. Allah could have said, and if you are ungrateful, I will take away from you. I will punish you. Like before. He doesn't mention it. He said, إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. No doubt my punishment is intense. You know, it sounds like a really harsh ayah, right? If you're grateful, I'll increase you. And if you're ungrateful, my punishment is intense. But actually, you know, it's not an if and then statement. It's a nuance of the Arabic language that Allah did not say, وَلَا إِن كَفَرْتُمْ fa إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. There's no fa. If it was a fa, that means, if you are ungrateful, then my punishment is intense for sure. There's no then. You know what that means? That means it's not an if and then statement. That means Allah did not make it, if you're ungrateful, I will punish you. It's not like that. Allah said, if you are ungrateful, dot, dot, dot. He's not even finishing that sentence. He just went to a new sentence. My punishment happens to be really intense. He didn't connect the two grammatically. And that itself is something we should be grateful for. That is just the fact that Allah didn't put a fa there. Because if He put a fa there, it would have been, if you're ungrateful, then you better know that my punishment is intense. It's not like that. If you're ungrateful, nothing. There's a nothing. And then He says, my punishment is really intense. My punishment. And He didn't put a fa there. That, just Him not doing that, is actually something we should be eternally grateful for. That itself. What a beautiful, beautiful ayah. And what a motivation that Musa alayhi salam gave. It was such a powerful khutbah, you know, that he declared to the Bani Israel, that Allah made it a part of the Qur'an. May Allah Azza wa Jalla help us learn from the beautiful wisdom of the Qur'an and make us a grateful people and see the brighter side in things. Stop being so gloomy and pessimistic all the time. Stop looking at the downside of everything. Stop complaining all the time. Stop criticizing everything. Stop being so cynical. Be appreciative of the people around you and your friends and your teachers and your parents and your school, your health, your physique. Stop complaining you're too fat, you're too short, you're too skinny. Stop complaining. Start being grateful. Stop complaining that you've been sick for a week. Start being happy that you are not sicker than so many others. Start being grateful. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will increase and increase and increase because that is His promise. May Allah help us all recognize that promise of Allah and qualify us for it. Barakallahu li wa lakum, wa assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهُ سُلْطَانٌ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ
رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَاحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِّسَانِي يَفْقَهُوا قَوْلِي فَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَالصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ السلام عليكم Quran Weekly. We are now on the 14th juz and I'm reading to you from Surah An-Nahl, the 16th surah. And this is the 98th ayah of the surah, in which Allah says, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ. Then whenever you recite the Qur'an, look at فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ, not فَإِن قَرَأْتَ. Not if you recite the Qur'an, when you recite the Qur'an, Allah expects you to recite the Qur'an. Because if the expectation was not there, it would have been an if. If you recite it, when you recite it. Allah says, when you recite it, then فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. Then seek Allah's refuge. مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, from the cursed shaitan. When you recite the Qur'an, shaitan will come and try to put you to sleep. When you recite the Qur'an, shaitan will put evil thoughts in your head. When you recite the Qur'an, you will remember the other 20 things you had to do and finish it off quickly. This is going to happen when you're praying. This is going to happen when you're just sitting there reciting Qur'an, when you're trying to memorize, when you're just in the plane and you got time and you just pull out the mushaf and start reading. It is going to happen every single time. And so every single time, seek Allah's refuge from the cursed shaitan. Say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ before you start reciting the Qur'an, a commandment of Allah Azza wa Jal, because this is a really important part of your relationship with the Qur'an. And the one thing shaitan wants is a distance between you and Allah. Qur'an will bring you close to Allah. He hates that, so he wants to corrupt your experience with the Qur'an. Everything he can do to corrupt that experience. إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهُ سُلْطَانَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. No doubt about it, he has no authority over those who truly have iman, who truly have faith. وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. And those who place their trust in Allah. In other words, Allah didn't overwhelm us with fear of, oh shaitan, the devil's here, he's going to mess me up. Actually, if you trust Allah and say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, you believe Allah is enough to guard you. Allah is enough to protect you. So when you recite Qur'an, make sure that you seek Allah's refuge. Also, this isti'adha is not just because He will distract you or not let you, you know, finish your recitation or make you lazy. It's also because He'll make you misunderstand, misinterpret. He'll make you want to think something is there that isn't there. So you're saying Allah's refuge shouldn't just be a recitation like أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. You should genuinely seek Allah's, Ya Allah, protect me. I'm about to go enter into your book. I'm about to engage your book. I genuinely need your protection from the cursed shaitan who can take guidance and turn it into misguidance for me if I'm not careful. May Allah protect all of us and our recitation of the noble Qur'an, and may Allah keep shaitan away from our recitation of the Qur'an. Barakallahu li wa lakum, wa assalamu alaikum, Qur'an week.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إلا أن يشاء الله واذكر ربك إذا نسيت وقل عسى أن يهديني ربي لأقرب من هذا رشدا
رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي فالحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ثم ما بعد السلام عليكم Quran Weekly. We have reached the halfway point, the 15th juz. We're in Surah Al-Kahf. And I shared with you the 22nd and the 23rd ayat of the surah. Actually, no, the 23rd and the 24th ayat of the surah. And these are surahs about the phrase, inshaAllah, that you and I say all the time. Allah says, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ. Don't you dare say about something, إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا. No doubt about it. For sure, man, I'm going to do that tomorrow. Don't say it about anything, like anything. Don't say, I'm going to do this and this in the future. For sure, man, I got this. InshaAllah. Illa an yasha'Allah. Except that Allah wills. That I'll do this for sure, except if Allah wills. That's the phrase that you should say. I'll do this if, unless Allah wills otherwise. In other words, I have full intention of doing this, and the only thing that will get in the way if Allah's plan is different from my plan. That is not under my control. That is the intention of saying, InshaAllah. Illa an yasha'Allah. Unless Allah actually wills otherwise. Now when we say inshaAllah, we say, I will do this if Allah wills. We say it in the positive sense too. If Allah wills, this will happen, but I'm making my commitment. But you know what we've done? We've taken inshaAllah as the ultimate religious, I'm probably not going to do this. translated, inshallah. Hey brother, are you coming to the program? Yeah, inshallah. Are you going to be able to make the deadline? Inshallah, inshallah. You say it twice, it ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. So we've turned something that's supposed to be a recognition that the future is not in our hands into something that's saying, I'm not responsible. I'm not responsible. And that's a joke. That is not how it's supposed to be. Muslims, وَالْمُوفُونَ بِعَهْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَهَدُوا. They fulfill their promises when they make them. And if and when they get into an agreement, they stick to it. So if you have an agreement, you cannot just use inshallah to say, well, that's my way of saying, probably not. Don't do that. Don't use inshallah like that. However, you should use it in the correct meaning and with correct belief. And what is that? I'm going to do my best to make it to this meeting, to this appointment, to the class. And the only thing I can't control is the will of Allah. Because if Allah decides there's going to be a storm tomorrow, or my car's not going to start, or I'm not going to be healthy enough to wake up, I don't know any of those things. That is the mashia of Allah. But to the best of my efforts, I will do this. And you know, and if you show laziness on your part, Allah didn't put any obstacles in your path in doing what you said you would do, and then you turn back and say, well, I guess Allah didn't want it to happen, then you know, and Allah knows, that you're playing games with His word. And this is not something we should do. This is not something we should do. So when we say inshallah, it is not an acknowledgement that this might not happen. It is only an acknowledgement that things ultimately are in the hands of Allah, but we will do whatever we can to complete our word. May Allah make us a people that respect the phrases that we use every day, like Alhamdulillah, like Insha'Allah, like Astaghfirullah, and we use them in the way that they're supposed to be used, especially Insha'Allah, especially when it comes to your future, you know, obligations and meeting the expectations that you're supposed to meet. Barakallahu li wa lakum, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. فخلف من بعدهم خلف أضاعوا الصلاة واتبعوا الشهوات فسوف يلقون غيا
رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي فالحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم Quran Weekly. This is Ustad Norman with the 16th juz, and I'm reading something from Surah Maryam. This is ayah number 59 of Surah Maryam, and this is Imad, my older son. Alhamdulillah, he's hanging out with me today. How are you doing, Imad?
Good.
You going to listen carefully?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, so in this particular ayah, Allah talks about Bani Israel, and actually Nuh alayhi salam and Zuriyat Ibrahim and Israel, the children of Nuh and then the children of Abraham and the children of Israel, of Israel, Yaqub alayhi salam, and says something about a particular generation in their followers that just didn't live up to expectations. So Allah says, فَخَلَفَ مِن بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ. Then after them who took over, they were people that didn't live up to expectations, خَلْف. Khalaf actually means people that come afterwards that are that meet expectations, that were good people. And khalf, with a sukoon, are people that didn't take their teachings of their ancestors further, they actually stepped backwards. So their ancestors were more knowledgeable, and they came down and they were, you know, ignorant. So Bani Israel is described as a nation that deteriorated after the coming of the prophets, as generations came. And what's the proof of their deterioration? I'm sharing this with you because we should be warned that we don't become a people of deterioration, right? أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ. They wasted the prayer. They put the prayer to waste. They didn't care for it. وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ. And they followed whatever whims and fancies and desires that they had. فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّ. And soon they are going to meet deviation. غَيَّ is actually described as one level of hellfire, but is also described as a غَيَّ from غَوَى, actually also means misguidance in belief. Misguidance in belief. So Allah says, a future generation of Muslims came who did not live up to expectations of previous generations. Number one, they wasted the prayer, meaning they wasted every opportunity to pray. Two, as a result, they became people of their own whims and their own temptations. And three, soon they will come to meet ultimate deviation, the old deviation in belief. They're going to end up believing in other things and start leaving Islam. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله فسوف يلقون غيا. That is the warning Allah gives about the people, the nation of Israel. When the Prophet ﷺ tells us that we are going to لَتَتَّبِعُنَّ سُنَنَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, you will absolutely follow the way of those who came before you, then we should be really warned that we don't become of the khalf, we should be of the khalaf, right? And it's beautiful that Allah in this ayah did not say all of them were like this. He said among them were these kinds of people. You know, after them came some that were khalf. So we have an opportunity to be those who make our previous generations proud, and we join them in Jannah, or we have the opportunity to become like these disappointments. And really people look at us of the past generations on Judgment Day and say, these are the khalf. But Israel had a khalf and we have a khalf. May Allah not make us of them. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikr al-Hakim. Okay, now you're going to be very quiet. I'm going to read some Qur'an and then I'll tell everybody what your name is, okay? I'm going to tell everyone what your name is. Okay.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. ومن الناس من يعبد الله على حرف فإن أصابه خير اطمأن به وإن أصابته فتنة انقلب على وجهه خسر الدنيا والآخرة ذلك هو الخسران المبين
رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي فالحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم Quran Weekly. Today we are doing the 17th juz. Alhamdulillah, we're on Surah Al-Hajj, the 22nd surah, and this is the 11th ayah. This is Waleed, my sheikh, with you. But anyway, so in the 11th ayah, Allah says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَن يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ. Among people, there's a kind of person that worships Allah on the edge of a cliff. Harf actually means edge here. So it means, you know, somebody standing at the edge of a cliff. He's kind of dangling. He's not quite there, not quite off. So Allah describes this image and says, فَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ خَيْرٌ اِطْمَأَنَّ بِهِ. Then if something good happens to him, what is that in your hand? Okay. Then if something good happens to him, then he's satisfied with it. He's good, he's happy. He's satisfied. When asabatuhu fitnatun, and if a trial occurs to him, hits him, inqalaba ala wajhihi, he turns back on his face. He reverses. What this is talking about is a person who's committed to Islam so long as it's convenient. So some good thing happens, I love Islam, alhamdulillah, things are good. Something goes wrong, and all of a sudden, why is Allah doing this to me? Who needs religion anyway? You know, I don't need to do this, I deserve better, etc., etc. So they get this really aggressive attitude towards Allah and towards the faith altogether and turns back around like he wasn't even Muslim before. Allah says this kind of person, خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. The little religion you had even didn't amount to anything. This kind of person lost dunya and akhirah. These people on the edge that only turn back to Allah when convenient and then turn back away the moment trial hits, Allah says about them, you've lost this world and you've lost the akhirah. And uses a word that's typically not even used. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينُ. That is the ultimate loss. And it's obviously the ultimate loss. You haven't earned anything towards your afterlife, and you haven't earned anything towards this world. In other words, even in good times when he shows faith, it doesn't count for anything. It doesn't, because it doesn't pass the test of any trial. Any trial you turn back, that's not real faith at all. It's not even khusr, it's khusran. This is actually a hyperbolized form of the word loss. Ultimate loss. This is clearly the ultimate loss. So if that's the state of your faith, if you feel like, you know, every time things get tough, your iman disappears, then you have to be really warned about this, you know, this state of affairs. And you have to ask Allah for thabat, for like firmness of your heart, that you're able to maintain the strength of your faith through difficult times. Inshallah, as the ajza continue, when we get to later on, you know, like Surah Al-Ankabut and Surah Al-Qasas, other surahs, then we'll see, inshallah ta'ala, how Allah teaches us how to deal with trial and difficulty, and how He will give us strength to be able to manage our affairs, and be able to go through the hard challenges in life. Barakallahu li wa lakum, wa assalamu alaikum, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. إن الذين يحبون أن تشيع الفاحشة في الذين آمنوا لهم عذاب أليم في الدنيا والآخرة والله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون.
You dropped it?
Yeah.
I don't know where it went. I think I got it. Here. Bismillah, salatu wassalam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum, Quran Weekly, me and Waleed again. And I want to share with you the 18th juz, one ayah from the 18th juz today. And that is the ayah from Surah An-Nur, one of my favorite surahs in the Quran. And this is the 19th ayah, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةِ. No doubt those who love that shamelessness, inappropriateness, lewdness, indecency should spread, should become widespread and branch out. فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, among those who believe. لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. They'll have painful punishment in this world and in the next. I mean, a few days now I've been giving you surah ayat about warnings. And this is an equal part of the, you know, the balance of the Qur'an. Allah gives warnings and Allah gives good news. And in this particular ayah, the crime that Allah mentions is people guilty of spreading inappropriateness and indecency and a lowering of the standards of shame among Muslims. And people who make it common, people who want to make it just a norm, that should happen. Then they have great punishment in this world and the next. Wallahu ya'lam, and you would think, what's the big deal? Why is this so serious a crime? Allah answers that question Himself and He says, Wallahu ya'lam. Allah, in fact, He knows. Wa antum la ta'lamun. You have no idea. You don't know. You don't know how serious this is. So what does that mean, people who spread shamelessness? This is, you know, forms of entertainment that are inappropriate and indecent. There's, you know, there are people that, you know, if you are like a Muslim and you're watching some like inappropriate music video or something, right? And you forward it to your friends, and like you share it on Facebook or something, hey, watch this, this is pretty awesome. Then you spread shamelessness. You did that. Even in this, like by two clicks, the ayah started applying to you. So you have to be careful what you spread among people and what you make common. And this is not just limited to like videos and images and things like that. It's also talk. Like, you know, if you know something scandalous or something, you know, indecent, then you don't spread it, you don't talk about it, you drop it. We don't actually, in Islam, we don't, you know, sensationalize controversy. And we don't bring it out in the community and talk about it even more and more. The context of this passage is actually, hey Baba, don't do that to the mic because then it makes a weird sound, okay? Okay? Say okay. 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 So, the context of the ayah is actually the accusation made against the mother of the believers, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, in Surah An-Nur. And she was accused of wrongdoing, and this scandal had spread. And Allah says those who, you know, they want to spread shamelessness, shamelessness is not necessarily the act, an act of indecency, but it's even the talk of indecency. That spreading is inappropriate. So if you know something happened in your community, don't talk about it. Don't openly talk about it, unless it brings some benefit. Like talk to the parents about, you know, some girl ran away from her house or something. Or you know some boy, Muslim kid that you know from the masjid or from the school is dating somebody. Don't spread these things. To only talk to that people that can help with the situation. Not just to anybody. Talk to his parents, talk to him, talk to her. Say, this isn't right, you know. But otherwise, it's so much fun to talk about, right? It's just easy to just spread. But it's a very, very, very serious crime. So we shouldn't, you know, just casually talk about these kinds of things. And the only additional comment I'll make is that the Qur'an, it actually does not explicitly talk about things even that are, I'll call them rated R. Right, so intimacy between men and women. Quran deals with the subject, but not in an explicit way. It deals with it in a very dignified way. 8 or 9 times intimacy is mentioned in the Quran. Never is it mentioned literally. It's always alluded to. So Allah is not like, He's not shying away from the subject itself, but He's not going to use explicit language. And like the Arabic language is very rich. It can use those kinds of words, but Allah chooses not to do it. So even that is a problem, to say those kinds of words. Sometimes you hear them, a speaker using those kinds of words, and everybody's disturbed because we know in our nature it's not comfortable for us to hear those kinds of words. And they shouldn't be, you know, spread in this way. There's a way around them, and there's a way that we can maintain our decency and still talk about difficult things that are there to talk about. May Allah give us a really heightened sense of decency, and may Allah Azza wa Jal not make us of those who are culprits in spreading and lowering the standards of shame and lowering the standards of appropriateness among the Muslims. Barakallahu li wa lakum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَيَوْمَ يَعُضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا يَا وَيْلَتَى لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِلْإِنْسَانِ خَذُولًا
وقال الرسول يا ربي إن قوم اتخذوا هذا القرآن مهجورا
رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي فالحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ثم أما بعد Assalamu alaikum, Quran Weekly, Alhamdulillah, we are in the 19th Juz, and I'm reading to you a little bit from Surah Al-Furqan. These are ayat numbers 27 onwards. The day on which the wrongdoer is going to be biting his hands. This is an expression of extreme regret. Ya laytani, and he's saying, يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا If only I had taken a path alongside the Messenger. He doesn't even say, if only I believed in the Messenger. He says, if only I had taken a path alongside the Messenger. What are some of the wisdoms of mentioning path here? Judgment Day comes, this person is on the wrong side, he sees the followers of the Prophet ﷺ going, marching their way towards paradise with him ahead of them. And he's like, why am I not there? How come I didn't take that path? How come I didn't take a life path in this life that leads to that path to Jannah? How come I was stupid enough not to follow that? So he's showing that regret. The ayah also highlights that believing in the Prophet ﷺ, loving him, respecting him, revering him, all of that is awesome, but not enough. You have to walk his path. You have to go on his path. You have to live that life. You have to accept his teachings as teachings that apply to your lifestyle. Just having regard for him isn't enough. Alayhi salatu wasalam. And the true proof of love and regard for him is that his instructions mean more to us than what we want to do. You know, so he says, I wish I had taken a lifestyle up that was alongside, consistent with this messenger, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he blames his friends. Ya laytani, ya waylata laytani lam attakhidh fulanan khalila. Oh my God, the worst possible thing has happened to me. If only I didn't take that guy as a friend. You know that guy, what's his name? That's the Arabic English translation of fulanan. I'm going to translate that as, what's his face? What's his name? I don't even know what that guy's name is. But man, I used to hang out with him all the time. We spent all our time together. He's the one that told me Islam is stupid. Who needs to follow it? Why are you getting caught up in this crowd? Leave these people. They're dumb. They don't even know how to live life. Religion is for idiots. You know, be intellectual. And you, on Judgment Day comes, you can't even remember that guy's name. You can't even remember that guy's name. When you mention the Messenger, Ar-Rasul, the Messenger, as though you know who he is. And when you mention your friend who you used to hang out with, who was the reason for which you didn't choose the prophetic lifestyle, you can't even think of his name. You call him Fulan, which in Old English translates as so-and-so. Whoever, whatever that guy was. That I translated as, what's his name? You know, I wish I didn't take him as a friend. لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي That guy made me slip away and misguided me away from the reminder, the Qur'an, after it had come to me. Meaning this person was exposed to the true religion. They were even a Muslim even. They didn't want to follow the lifestyle, even though reminders were coming. They were coming through some other good friends. They were coming through a khutbah that they attended once in a while. Didn't care for it. وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِلْإِنسَانِ خَذُولًا And the devil, the shaitan, especially when it comes to the human being, he's khadul. Khadul in Arabic is used for a friend, who acts like he's your friend until the right moment. Then he slips away, and you're left hanging. That's what shaitan will do to you. He'll lead you all the way to hell and then try to run away. Khadula. And now this is the scene of Judgment Day, right? This person's in regret because he's not along those who are marching to paradise, you know, with the Prophet ﷺ. I mean, he sees the Prophet from a distance. Now Allah gives the Prophet ﷺ a chance to speak. And it says, though the Prophet ﷺ turns back to these people, that are in regret, that are wishing they could be alongside the Messenger. So they might be hoping that the Prophet will turn back sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say something that will rescue them. Because as we know, the Prophet might make shafa'ah, he might intercede. So what's he going to say? So Allah says, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا He says, the Messenger will say, my master, this nation of mine, this group of mine, these part of my people, this could be referring to the Quraysh who disbelieved in the Prophet ﷺ, but it's not limited to them. It could also be members of this ummah. That's classical tafsir too. Members of this ummah that didn't care for Allah's book, Allah's teachings, but call themselves Muslims anyway, just Muslim by name. Muslim by inheritance. You know, just because it's been passed down as a Muslim name. Allah says about them, these are the people, they took the Qur'an, هذا القرآن, this Qur'an, this... Allah didn't even say, He doesn't even say that Qur'an, He says this Qur'an, because the Qur'an is near, it's accessible, it's not like you have to make great hurdles to come to it. And He says, they took it and they abandoned it, they left it. Now imagine the people against whom Allah's Messenger is testifying. He's testifying about these people, they couldn't take the Qur'an seriously. You and I have to take the Qur'an seriously. I know we're supposed to be spreading messages of hope and optimism, but we're also supposed to be honest with each other. This is a matter of salvation. You and I, whether we accept it or not, whether we live a life that is based on actual reality and how things are going to go down on Judgment Day, whether you care about Judgment Day or not, it's still coming. Whether you believe it or not, it's still coming. Whether you're fasting this Ramadan or not, it's still coming. Whether you're praying or not, it's still coming. Whether you're obeying Allah in everything you do or not, it's still coming. There's no escape from it. You want to think about it, and you don't want to think about it, it won't change reality. It is still coming. And we will still have to stand. And the only thing we have right now is Allah's book and each other to remind each other. And the great legacy of our Prophet ﷺ to remind each other and say, let's get our act together. We don't want to be on the wrong side on that day. May Allah make us of those who took a path alongside the Messenger ﷺ in this life, so that we can march with him into the paradise on Judgment Day. Barakallahu li wa lakum, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wa asbaha fu'adu ummi Musa farigha. إن كادت لتبدي به لولا أن ربطنا على قلبها لتكون من المؤمنين
رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي فالحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم Quran Weekly. We are on the 20th juz now, alhamdulillah, we're in the 20s. And this is Surah Al-Qasas, one of my favorite ayat of the surah, talking about the mother of Musa alayhi salam. I picked this ayah because it actually is very close to my heart for many reasons, and most important of which is all human beings will suffer emotionally traumatizing experiences. We're going to be hurt because of loved ones, because of loss of loved ones, because of sickness, because of the pain that loved ones will cause us, like the hurtful things our parents will say to us, or we will say to our parents, or our children will say to us, or the wife and the husband will say to each other, or friends will say to each other. You know, and we're going to go through traumatic experiences in life, like, you know, job loss or home loss or even worse, you know. There are people, so how many people in the world living in, like, you know, really horrific situations that we can't imagine suffering. Children going through things that I can't imagine my children even close to suffering from, right? And that's a reality that so many people face. And this particular ayah, to me, is an ayah of great hope, because when people get scarred, people get emotionally damaged, then they feel like they're never going to be able to recover and move on with life again. Musa's mother had the colossal task of taking her baby and putting the baby in the water. The mother has to put her child in the water. That is not it's not even an imaginable thing a mother can do. But she has two options: watch her child be slaughtered by soldiers before her eyes, or take this child and put him in a basket which hasn't been tested for waterproof navigation by any means. And throw him into the river. Alqihi fil yam. Throw him. And Allah says, when she threw him into the water, when she threw the baby into the river, by Allah's inspiration, because she couldn't have gotten herself to do it emotionally, Allah empowered her to be able to do that. He says, wa asbaha fuadu ummi Musa farighan. Musa's mother's heart was emptied out. Like the trauma of having to let go of her child and watch the child float away into a river, and you can't even access him anymore, and you don't even know what happened to him, if he drowned or not, if a gator got to him, if those horrible soldiers caught him, if it flipped over, she knows nothing. The worst thoughts may be crossing her mind. Allah says her heart was emptied out. فَارِغًا. Her heart became emptied out, void of all emotion. You know, somebody hears like traumatic news and you go like this, and they don't blink. They don't talk. They're just quiet. They're emotionally paralyzed. That's the state she reached. إِنْ كَادَتْ لَتُبْدِي بِهِ. She almost gave up her secret. She almost came out running and saying, that's my baby, that's my baby. But if she said that, he would have been killed. Now Allah says, لَوْلَا أَرَّبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا. Had we not firmed her heart, had we not tied up her heart, had we not kept her heart together, Allah took her fu'ad, which was a heart that's inflamed. And in the same ayah, he used a different word for fu'ad, which is qalb. He calmed her heart down and brought her back to a normal state. And Allah is describing that He did that. You know, there are people that are emotionally traumatized and can never recover. Why not? Because Allah hasn't tied up their heart. Allah hasn't done that. We as human beings don't have the ability to emotionally recover sometimes, but we're learning in this ayah that Allah has the ability to let us heal and move on. Allah, you could say to yourself, I don't have the emotional capability of forgiving you. But Allah says, I'll tie your heart and I'll give you that ability. You can say in your heart, I'm too damaged by what happened, there's no way I can move on with my life. But iman, faith in Allah, is enough for you to be able to move on with your life. لَوْلَا أَرَّبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا Had we not tied up her heart. لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ So she could be from those who truly believe. What mother can get over the trauma of putting her child in the water and not being able to see anymore? How is she going to get over that? But Allah gave her the strength of heart that not only did she get over it, she was able to think clearly afterwards and send his sister after him. She wouldn't have been able to think at all had Allah not intervened. So Allah will intervene into our emotional states. He will intervene. And she's not a prophet. She's just a believer. Which means this is an opportunity for you and me. Whatever emotional trauma you're going through, know that Allah can intervene and give you peace of mind, peace of heart. And He can give you tranquility again. Whether it's anxiety, fear, whether it's grief, whether it's anger, whatever emotion, whatever thing has happened that's scarred you, that's left you scarred, Allah can remove that scar entirely. And I pray that you are able to ask Allah for that genuine removal of scar, and that Allah Azza wa Jalla gives you that firmness of heart, so you can be from those who truly, truly believe, and can live a healthy spiritual life, and a healthy emotional life. Barakallahu li wa lakum, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.